T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Oh, I bet you he is very happy with the weather forecast for Sunday in Kansas City. No gloves to be burned on Sunday night. Sal joining us on the Wester Hotline, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? You don't need a second suitcase for extra clothing. No cardboard, no plastic on your feet. Sal, good morning. How are you? I think it was 37 today. 37 at kick. Partly cloudy. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. When you have two offenses that are this good and two quarterbacks and passing games and all this stuff with explosive offenses, who wants to see it limited by bad weather, by winds or blizzards or anything like that? So I'm with you. I think it'd be nice to actually see them do what they do their best in this game. So I know we had someone on hold, and I was going to bring this up anyway. They dropped off, but we had a couple people on hold this morning, and they didn't have a chance to make their point on the show about coaching interviews. So, you know, we're hearing Brian Daboll's name. We're hearing Leslie Frazier's name. He's going to interview with the Bears on Friday. And I know this came up during Sean McDermott's Zoom call. So I just wanted to bring it up with you, Sal, because I think there are a lot of Bills fans who, my guess is, the general question or concern would be, is this a problem when you have coaches preparing for a playoff game while interviewing for other jobs? And I thought McDermott explained it really well on Monday, and you should not be worried based on what he said.
They also want to be a head coach. There's no doubt about that. But I thought it was a really good answer as well, how Sean explained, you know, that prep is done. You know what's going to happen in those interviews. Sure, there's other stuff that's got to go on before that. But if you're not already super prepared for those things, especially from people who've been through it before, then you're probably not going to do very well.
One of the other things, if you got a question or comment about the Bills, phone lines are open. You can join Sal at 803-0550. I thought one of the other things that was interesting, Sal, was the discussion or the answer about load management. If you could talk a little bit about that, because, you know, whether it's giving certain guys veteran rest days during the week with the 17th game, right? McDermott talked about how Wednesday practices, some of them were switched to walkthroughs. The load management with the receivers who were banged up at this point last year. Diggs had only 60% of the snaps the other day. Can you talk a little bit about, generally speaking, what does load management mean? What does the staff do to preserve guys, if you will?
Yeah, look, obviously it helps when you're winning like the Bills did Saturday night to be able to back off a little bit on guys like Stephon Diggs. You know, you look with like, what, 6-7 minutes left in the game, the entire starting defense is pretty much out of the game, right? They're going that last drive for the Patriots, and that's really nice. Those guys can get off. There's not, like, something could happen on one of those plays late in the game, so that's nice as well. You look at the snap counts, they absolutely divided them up really well. Gabriel Davis, I believe, was the highest amount. But, Howard, this goes back to training camp and preseason this year, when you knew there was going to be 18 weeks and 17 games. Now, that's a part of it as well. And Sean McDermott even said they acknowledge that. Like, that makes it even a little bit longer, where you have to think about those kinds of things. Throughout the year, they give these guys veteran rest days. And everybody's a little bit different. Some guys get it on Wednesday. Some guys get it on Thursday. Some guys get it, Stephon Diggs, pretty much every Friday. He gets a veteran rest day. I think the other thing is they're very, very cautious with a lot of the injuries where they back off on players. And especially if you remember during preseason and training camp, there was a lot of talk. Remember Stephon Diggs had a knee injury and he missed like the last couple of weeks of training camp? People are very concerned. What's going on? It's a knee injury. You know, I look back then and I go, you know, obviously they were just really making sure he was ready to go for the season. So that starts, that load management starts. It's anything that's coming up, like, hey, you want to be prepared. This also goes with, you know, you also got to coach the rest of your roster and make sure those guys are ready. It's not just the load management for the guys who you want to back off on for veterans. It's we also want to make sure that these other guys are prepared to play different positions. Spencer Brown getting time, you know, at left tackle when Deion Dawkins was out. You know, things like that are going to happen. So as the season goes on, yes, they do that. They make sure that they use their roster. It's funny, the Bills actually used the fewest amount of players in the whole league this year because they stayed relatively healthy, knock on wood. And, yeah, it's a big deal. They sports science, training staff, the communication that goes into it, all those kinds of things really matter. And here they are again for basically the third year in a row being one of the least injured teams in the entire league. And a lot of the, you have to credit like a lot of this stuff into that. It's not all just happenstance and luck.
One of the other things I want to get into a little bit is Ryan Bates. We were talking yesterday, Sal, about the five-game win streak, right? And what are the main reasons for the turnaround? Why are they? What are they doing better? The offense is on a really nice roll. The run game, a lot of people were bringing up Devin Singletary. But then other people were also saying, well, the line is playing really well in this win streak, both run blocking and pass protecting. No sacks in the last four games. What's the Ryan Bates impact on the offensive line? I know it's not all him, but he is the newer guy in that starting group. What's his impact been?
You know, I think for some reason, and, you know, you'd have to maybe be up there and listen to everything that's going on and in the film room sessions and things like that. It seems like they've kind of just found that chemistry and they've gelled a lot more even since Ryan's gone in. And, you know, he's been in the league a few years now. The Bills traded for him from Philadelphia a few years ago. But one of the things about Ryan, let's remember, he knows and can play all five positions,
yep.
Right? And when you have a guy on the offensive line, a lot of these guys can play different positions, obviously. When you have a guy in the offensive line who can play and know all five positions, it is a tremendous benefit to everyone around him. Ryan Bates goes in at guard. He's played center in the NFL, whether preseason, training camp, whatever. He's been a center. He knows exactly what Mitch Morse is looking at. He knows exactly what Deion Dawkins is looking at left tackle. They help each other. The communication just works so much better. Now, look, again, I'm not saying that someone else going in there like Ike Butker or John Feliciano doesn't know what they're talking about. I just think when you have a guy who knows everybody's spot and position, it makes everything so much smoother when you're looking at the defense and when calls are being made because they've done that before from every spot.
Yeah. Yeah, and it you know, he seems to, you know, have developed the chemistry, right, which is important with not just the guy who's to your left or to your right, but the five-man group. Dawkins is playing his best of the season. Williams is doing fine at right guard. Right, they finally solidified. No one's flipping from right guard to right tackle. Amazing that Morris has been the constant, right? He's the only guy in the entire offensive line that has played every single game, started and played every single game this season.
Yeah, he's played really well this year. I also think it's coincided, though, with they just seem like they're running the ball with a much more of a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, everything is – yeah, there's still the RPO game, and, you know, you still do some things to get to the edge, you know, horizontally, no doubt. But it seems to me like everything's a little bit more of an attack mode running the ball. That's why Devin Singletary is getting the extra yards. That's why he's, you know, getting the hole a little bit quicker. I think that's coincided with that. It's not, you know, a Ryan Bates thing necessarily there. It's a – this is the philosophy of the offense and what they've done. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that have kind of come together at the right time here.
In the run game discussion, you brought up an interesting name, and, you know, it's not going to be front of the brain there, top of the mind, whatever the case may be. But in this discussion of Singletary is running well and the offensive line and all this stuff and other players, it's not just the O-line, the blocking from the skill guys. Reggie Gilliam, I don't remember the tweet in terms of snap count and all that stuff, but how much has Gilliam helped as they've given Singletary more carries in the last five, six games?
So the last game, the playoff game against the New England Patriots, I went back and watched the game, and I noticed a lot more rewatching Reggie Gilliam than I had noticed previously to that. And yeah, I know the snap counts. I look at the snap counts. I tweet out the snap counts. But he played, well, I'm going to look at it right now, 34% of the snaps. That's his third highest of the season. And what I noticed about him was he just was making little subtle plays that mattered oftentimes, whether that was a block, pulling somebody out because they had to cover him out of the backfield. He caught a pass. The Bills used him, and he is truly like an H-back. You know, we don't refer to him that way because he's called a fullback, but we say sometimes he's a tight end. But he is an H-back is what he is, which is you can line him up in all different spots. And excuse me, it doesn't have to be in the backfield. It doesn't have to be. He flexes out sometimes. I think having a guy like that puts the defense in a little bit of a bind because you think, okay, he's on the field. They're probably going to run. He's a fullback. Well, he's not a traditional fullback, though. He's not just going to pound right at you. But he can block. He had a couple really stellar blocks on a couple of runs. And, you know, I think it's just – it's really interesting. And what's funny is his highest percentage of the year in snap counts came against the Kansas City Chiefs in Week 5. And I wonder if that he becomes a part of the game plan here again, Kansas City Chiefs. During the game, by the way, here's another little anecdote for you. I'm watching back, and on the game broadcast, I noticed they show Bill Belichick at one point, and I read his lips. He yelled to his defense. He was mad at them, and he said, "That was 12. That was 12." And I'm like, "What is he talking about?" And then I realized, I think what he was talking about, I think they, you know, you go 12 personnel at what it is, one running back, two tight ends, and I think the Bills had Reggie Gilliam on the field, and I think the defense misidentified what personnel package they had because of how they might have been treating him or not treating him. And I thought it was super interesting. I don't know that, but it happened right after a play where he was on the field, and you could see Belichick yell to his defense, "That was 12," meaning like you called it wrong.
So somebody, whatever, one of the play callers down on the field screwed
up. Yeah, or I mean, it could be on the staff too, but he yelled it out to them, and I just wonder if they did something wrong because his own defense, because they misidentified, because maybe Gilliam was on the field, but he lined up as a tight end, and I just think that could be the conundrum a defense finds itself in.
I try not to say anything nice about Belichick if I don't have to, but I did. Did you see the tweet from Mike Giardi of NFL Network who said that after the game the other night, Belichick went into the Bills locker room for an extended time? That was the extent of the tweet. I thought, did he go and talk to somebody in particular? What did he do? What did he say? But apparently he went and I'm assuming it's a complimentary thing, but not like challenging anybody to a fight. So maybe he was, you know, really respectful of the Bills kicking their butt, and he went into their locker room the other night after the game.
What can I say?
Yeah,
I did see the tweet.
Yeah.
I did see the tweet. I had not heard anything about it until then. Mike is an excellent reporter, obviously, and he also covers the Patriots quite a bit during the season, just so you know.
Yep.
So he would know this probably. But I will tell you, I've also asked a couple of my media colleagues who also had not heard anything about this.
Yeah.
So this is news. I mean, I didn't know this. And, you know, if we missed it, we missed it, I guess. But nobody – this was something that was new. So I tried to find out. I haven't heard back anything. But it was interesting. I just would like to point out that, like, this is the first that any of us had heard of it.
The Kansas City rematch, you know, you were mentioning the first time they played in Gilliam and all that. And Brian Daboll, I want to ask you about this, Sal. This was brought up with Brian Daboll on his Zoom call. I don't know that the question specifically referred to Kansas City because they just had a third game with New England. The concept of holding stuff back, like when you're playing Kansas City or you're preparing for, say, New England in the second game in Foxborough, whether you hold stuff back thinking, well, we might play this team again. I want to make sure we save this, this, and this.
So are you asking what he said or what he?
Yeah, like because he said they don't, right? I mean, they're trying to win the game.
I mean, yeah, I don't remember the exact.
They're not going to empty the entire player. They wouldn't empty the entire playbook. You'll always have new ideas and new players.
Yeah.
Every time you see a team again in the same season, so it's not like a big deal,
and let's remember. They played them back in Week 5. Both teams are different in respects. You know, there's no doubt about that. It's funny. I watched the game back yesterday. I went back and watched that game.
Yep.
And what stood out to me was the Bills really attacked downfield more than they had a lot this year. Yeah. So I pulled up Josh's yards per attempt. He didn't throw for a ton of yards. I mean, he did. He didn't have a great completion percentage. He was less than 58% actually, Josh, in that game. But the 58%. Turned into 315 yards because he attacked down the field. So I went back and looked. The three highest yards per attempt games for Josh this year at the Jets when they just threw like bomb after bomb. New England in the playoff game this year, just last week, and then that game, the Chiefs. So the two highest regular season games were the Jets and the Patriots. They're the only games where he was over 10, and he was over 12 in those games, yards per attempt. Like, that just showed – they were really attacking downfield. So I don't know. I wonder if they stick with the same game plan. I think the Chiefs Right now, though, you look, as well as their defense is playing, I think you can run on them a little bit. Yeah. The Bills are running the ball better now than they were in that game. Do they lean on that a little bit more? So, yeah, I mean, coach, of course, every coach is going to tell you, like, yeah, we're not going to do the exact same thing every time. They're going to adjust. We're going to adjust, right? There's always things you can bring out. There's no doubt about that. And both of these teams will have new wrinkles. I worry about what wrinkles the Chiefs run in this game. Like, what are they going to do? Are they suddenly – they did not attack downfield in that game because the Bills took that away. But there's no Tre'Davious White in this game. So suddenly are we just going to see a bunch of bombs to Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman? I think that could be possible.
I think we're going to see a million different screens of a million different kinds. Like, if you watch the way they played against Pittsburgh, it's just a bunch of stuff going on. It's kind of organized chaos. I mean, they did have Kelsey throw a touchdown. They threw to a lineman, too. Like, they ran it up the same way the Bills did against New England. But, you know, Sal, I know that tackling is important in any game, but something about this one and the way they have these screens or eye discipline, I feel like we might see that, hear that term this week, too, the old Lamar Jackson thing about eye discipline, because the Chiefs are going to dress up a lot of things offensively.
Yeah, for sure, Jeremy. An underrated kind of storyline leading into this game is their running back situation. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was supposed to play last week. They thought he was. He got on the field on Wednesday. He didn't practice Thursday, Friday. His shoulder didn't react the way it wanted. They wanted, so he didn't play in the game. I think a lot of people assume he's just going to play then this week and he'll be fine. It's another week. I don't know. I listened to Andy Reid on Monday and he basically said, we'll see how it goes. He's got to feel it first at practice. Like, it didn't react well the week before. And I think he's a big part of that, right? Because there were a couple times, like, you go back, he's a guy that'll run some screens too and do things like that. And then Darrell Williams, their running back, he had a toe injury as well. He was tough to push off. That's why Jerick McKinnon was the main running back.
He's the one I'd be worried about the most.
Yeah, and if they want to use him, so I wonder how that all shakes out. But you're right. I think McKinnon's got speed. He can do a lot of that stuff. If they don't have a true, I'm not going to say true run game, I guess, but if they don't have Edwards-Helaire and or Williams at 100%, I think those things come to play even more. And yes, got to tackle. But I also would say, I think the Bills would take that kind of offense versus they're just going to attack with Kelsey and those guys down the field and, you know, get those plays. You make them work. You make them work. Make them fight another play, because look what happened the last time. Mahomes threw an interception. He got one tip batted up in the air, gets picked. He throws one to Micah Hyde. If you make them work, make them work, make them work, then, you know, there's more of a chance that something would go wrong as well as the drive goes on.
And, you know, I had an interesting email from a listener from Kate who pointed out about, you know, getting hands up against the Bill, against Mahomes. And one of the things that Rousseau is, of course, Sal, is long. So, and with the way he throws, do you think that they ever ask defensive players to not just put hands up, but put hands out to the side? Like, you want to go wingspan all over the place, because he is a sidearm guy that if you put your arms up, we'll throw it underneath there. And it's just, it's a different kind of animal when you're probably rushing Mahomes than most others.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I'm thinking right now, as you're saying that, I'm thinking back to the off season and getting longer, right? There's ways that being longer help you other than just, you know, maybe getting around the edge or getting a hand up. It's reaching back. It's putting your hand just in one spot. Like, just maybe you just get your hand on the ball in a certain situation where you normally wouldn't because of what you're talking about, right? And the Bills have that length. And do you guys remember Greg Rousseau picked him off last game? He batted the ball in the air and he picked him off because he was long, right? So, yeah, I think that's it as well, and making him move a little bit. The thing that concerns me a bit here too is one thing that Patrick Mahomes has hurt the Bills with the last couple of times they played, and I'm going back to the playoff game and then the well, I guess maybe all three, but especially when they were here in Buffalo too. He scrambled in big situations to get some yards. He's not Josh, we know that, but he can move. He's a good athlete, and he did scramble on some third and longs to wind up getting extra yards and just extended drives, and those are things too. If you force him out of the pocket because you're doing those things, you have to be aware of that.
All right, Mr. C, we will listen for you at 10 with Sneaky Joe today.
Okay, guys, Bills just announced practices inside today, so remember all that talk about inside outside last week?
And oh, they're screwed.
I know, right? I don't think it matters today. It's colder today. It's going to be in Kansas City, so I think we're okay. Plus, they got snow. But it is funny how much that became such a story last week, and then it totally did not matter whatsoever.
Well, hey, you get a Belichick game, there are a lot of stories that have to be told.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, my gosh, you're right.
Tell them to set the indoor temperature to 37 to simulate game conditions on Sunday night.
There you go. Turn up the heat.
Yeah, and have the doors open. All right, Sal. Thank you as always, sir.
All right, see ya.
Talk with us on the Western Hotline, 803-0550 for your Bills Chiefs discussions with us. How confident are you about the game on Sunday night? You can let us know on that. Whatever else is on your mind, you can join us at any time here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, yo. I'm glad he on our team, though. I'm glad he on our team.
That boy's special.
God, he's a dog, bro. He's a dog, bro. God, he's good. He is good.
This is a big, goofy-ass dude at quarterback.
Bro, they really don't know how goofy he is.
They really have zero idea how goofy he is.
I love him, though.
I love him to death. I love him to death.
That's the realest mic'd up ever you've ever seen from any team ever. Jordan Poyer mic'd up for the Bills-Patriots game. And when he wasn't swearing and saying the Patriots were cocky and they're going to beat it, which was awesome,
yeah,
they have no idea how goofy he is. It's one of the funniest things. That's it. And Micah Hyde's next to him. You can hear him.
Yeah. It was good for – both of them were good for separate reasons. Like you said, like it is kind of neat. Like, all right, what do those guys think about Josh Allen? You know, the defense is sitting on the bench. We know what we think watching him at home. Here's his teammates who see him every day in practice, every day, all the time in games. And it is funny to hear them say, damn, this guy's good. But I love the Patriots stuff, because that if you were – what Poyer said is if you mic'd up a fan and had them give a speech to the Bills before the game began. Like, he would basically say the same thing. Tired of these you-know-whats. They're cocky. That's pretty much what a Bills fan would say if you put them on the field in a huddle before the team came out, like in the tunnel. Hey, Bills fan, Jeremy White, come on down here in the tunnel. Give a speech to the boys before they go out on the field. You'd say exactly what Jordan Poyer was saying, which is really awesome. 803-0550 to join us. I know you want to get to a betting question. Let me get on a quick call here, too. We were doing the having this discussion about Belichick going into the Bills' locker room after the game. Roger in Arcade, you're on WGR. Go right ahead. You got a thought on this?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about that. I got a little inside track. I kind of what happened in there.
He was looking for a bathroom. Yes.
Yeah, right. They had to go after that, right? But anyway, I heard that Belichick went in there and congratulated Sean on a good job. And then I also seen Josh Allen there told me what a great quarterback he's coming from, what inside information I got there. And I also wanted to talk about, how are we going to stop these guys? They're so well-rounded on offense. I mean, it's like you got to put 15 guys out there to cover us. And I'll take your comments off the air, and I appreciate your time.
Sure. If that's what he did do, that's cool. First off, that's cool that he did it. And I could see that. I thought it would have been after the game in Foxborough. Like, I never really, Belichick's not, I don't think, a huge stop and talk to people after the game guy.
No, he's got a reputation for not shaking hands when he loses.
Or doing a drive-by, like a really quick drive. But
so it's interesting to hear that he would seek people out after a game like that.
Well, remember the game, I'm pretty sure, after the Bills beat him in Foxborough, I mean, he had the obligatory with Sean McDermott, but then he went to find Josh Allen. Like, he didn't just go, hey, quick shake hand with Sean McDermott. Let me bolt off the field. He looked for Allen and did the whole arm around the shoulder, get close to his ear, and I couldn't make out what they were saying. But it looked like – I don't think that he normally does that. So I'm thinking what the caller was saying, if that's right, it would tend to connect with him saying something to Allen in the game in Foxborough, like making sure he saw the Bills quarterback before they left the field and said something to him. I'm sure something words to the effect of, hell of a game, kid.
There was also Mike Giardi also tweeted out a video of Mitch Morse.
Yeah.
With Christian Barmore.
Yeah, yeah.
After the game, Barmore was kind of doing a little bit of the Stephon Diggs, where you stand on the field and watch them celebrate.
Yep.
And Morse came over and talked to him and, you know, put his arm around him. And according to Mike Giardi, said, like, told him, you're a great young player, you know, like, you know.
That's classy. Good.
Yeah, yeah, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I like to see that. Yeah. I mean, you're battling and all that, right? You don't like them. They don't like you. You are battling against this guy, you know, on all those snaps, center, defensive tackle, and all. That's classy on Morse's behalf, but I think, and that's really cool. I'm sure there are a lot of moments like that after NFL games, and I just think that's really awesome, especially for a young guy who's probably dealing with the emotions of my season just ended. For Morse to do that, that was a very nice gesture on his behalf. So well done, Mitch.
Fun question. Would you, this is from a tweeter, writes in, would you rather have the Bills play in Tennessee with the weather they have this week, so like mm-hmm. – let's say 35, whatever.
Yeah.
Or home against Cincy in the conditions we had for the Patriots game. Not even close. Give me that frigid game. Yeah.
You're talking about the windy game or the frigid
game? No,
no, I thought he meant the 40-mile-an-hour wind game.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me read the tweet again. He did say conditions of the first home game.
Yeah, see, that's...
I would never want to watch a football game in those conditions again.
Yeah, no, that's
It'd be bad football. It'd be bad for the Bills. It'd be bad for the Bengals if it's at home.
Yep.
Yeah, I would never pick that. Even as the underdog, I would not. I would not. No.
That's why I wanted to clarify, because I think that's a different thing than 0 degrees. 0 degrees. You can still throw the ball. Obviously, they can still play football. But 40-mile-an-hour winds, no. I mean, I'd much rather have them rather than be at home, but in stupid, violent weather. I'd rather have them go into Tennessee, where I know they can win. Certainly not intimidated by the Titans, and have good conditions. Yeah, I think the Bills are the better offensive team. So if there are good conditions in Nashville, that should bode well for the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't worry about that at all. 803-0550 to join us. We're getting connected with our fans. We'll go to Alex in Rochester next here on WGR. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, guys. Good morning. You know, talking about confidence level going into the game, I just, you know, going into the Pats game, it was, you know, it was high. I really felt like we were the better team, you know, before we even snapped the first ball, you know, for the first play. But obviously it turned out well. But for this game, I think it's like 50%. I just think it could go either way. And I think it's when you have, you know, playoff football with top-tier quarterbacks, either of those guys can go off. If they both go off, you know, then it's going to be a great game. But I still feel like it's 50-50. So I have no idea. You know, we can analyze it all we want and from a million different angles. But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know. It's a total toss-up. I hope they win. It'll be fun to watch. But I could see it going either way.
Yep. You know, I tend to think about in the book Moneyball, Billy Bean talks about his job as the GM is they get to the playoffs, and then you never know what's going to happen. Like things, you want the best team you can on the field. Think about golf. If you've got two great golfers in a match play event, only one can win, you know. In this, Mahomes or Allen, we went through some of the numbers earlier, the Brady-Manning stuff. Brady won their first six meetings. First six.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if Allen loses his first six to Mahomes.
No, thank you.
Granted, already that won't happen because he already beat him once. But, you know, Peyton Manning, one of the best of all time.
Surefire Hall of Famer went 0-6.
0-6.
That is pretty. You think one game
before his first win against the Tom Brady team. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like only one team can win. Sometimes it's you play poorly. Sometimes it's a goal line stand that gets you, you know, to get you through. So, I mean, think about Super Bowls, right? The Niners and the Ravens a couple years back, right? The Ravens win that Super Bowl, and the Niners are at the 10-yard line trying to get in and can't punch it in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a red zone stop that determines who gets remembered there.
Right.
You know, like these margins get smaller and smaller. The goal is to be where you are right now. Be here. And then let's see. Let's see how it goes, you know?
And look, I've got the Twitter poll ready for tomorrow's show. I think you might even have done this one for the New England game last week, right? What happens? Bills win in a rout, Bills win in a close game, Chiefs win in a rout, Chiefs win in a close game. I don't know that I would assume the two lowest percentages would be a rout either way. I'm not sure how it would go, but that's good. I'm going to save this for tomorrow. I'm not even going to talk about it anymore. I'll use it tomorrow.
That's a good question. Because the Patriots game was an obvious one. Most likely we thought Bills a close game. Second, Bills blowout. Third, Patriots blowout.
Nobody would have anticipated a Patriots route in that game. Correct.
Yeah.
But you could, I mean, like the caller said, if I had to use a number, You know, when you asked me last week, I said I was extremely confident. All right, eight or nine to beat the Patriots. Not a 10, of course, because you never know. Kansas City, I mean, I think it's somewhere between 6 and 7. It's not 50-50. I still think the Bills will win the game. I'd give them a slight edge. If I were to vote in the Twitter poll, it would be Bills win close. But sure, it's, you know, if I'm hesitating even getting to 7 in this game because it's Mahomes. It's not Mac Jones. It's Mahomes. And, you know, Andy Reid's a good coach, but let's face it, it's Patrick Mahomes. And that's the biggest thing I'm worried about. And no Trey White. Might be the second thing on my list.
Yeah.
803-0550 to join us as we talk Bills Chiefs with you this morning here on WGR.
Me in my coat and my free hat, and I'm standing next to Bruce Smith and next to Thurman Thomas and next to everybody. Daryl Talley, they're all there, and you're like, I don't belong here. I just want to support the team. I want to see a great game. The fans love this show so much and the love that we have given to Buffalo. And it's not all Cowboys and Steelers all the time. We talk about the Buffalo Bills. And God, what an amazing night. And then they went and just beat the pants off of Bill Belichick by 30 points. So that was one face that explains the entire thing from my perspective. Buffalo, on behalf of our show and on behalf of our network, thank you so much. And good luck in Kansas City. Please don't lay an egg.
That is Kyle Brandt from NFL Network, who you hear on One Bills Live, was at the game Saturday night. He and his wife came up. They were at the game. He's wearing a Tasker jersey. If you didn't see what they tweeted out, it was about a six-minute piece talking about his whole experience, you know, eating beef on weck for the first time, the beer, the wings, everything out at the stadium, the crowd. It was really cool to watch because we know, not that we take it for granted, but we know what it's like, the experience up here. And it was kind of interesting to see the perspective of a first-timer, an outsider, comma, first-timer, with everything that was involved coming up here to take in the playoff game this past weekend. So that's pretty cool. Let's get connected with our fans, and we'll go to DJ in Lockport next. DJ, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
So first off, Jeremy, I don't know if you're looking, man. There is a lot of trash talk going on right now on Twitter from Chiefs fans. To me, they think this is a win, hands down. There's no reason for them to believe that there's anything to worry about. I know that Jones and a few other guys didn't play that last game that we won in KC, but I think it kind of goes hand-in-hand with the game that we played in Buffalo the year before. I think we were missing three or four starters on defense, including Milano, and there's a few other guys that were out. I just hope that these coordinators come in with solid game plans. I feel like they have to don't let – Kelsey get past the second level and get by himself like in Pittsburgh. But I just hope that we come into this game with a competent game plans, because I think if we do, they can play with these guys. They've already shown in this last game that they beat them. I just don't want them, like Brant said, don't lay an egg. If they come in there, if they lose in a good game, I mean, obviously I'm not going to be okay with them losing, but I'd be okay with how they lost. But I just really hope that they come in with a competent game plan. And my question for you guys is, what do you think, just generalized, the game plan will be? I mean, I'll just, if you guys give me your opinions, and I'll hang up and listen. Great show, guys.
Well, I don't think much is going to change offense. The Bills are going to lean on their passing game when they decide to run the ball. Singletary's been really good, but they're going to have to make sure they keep the pass rush off of Josh. The defensive line is much better with Chris Jones and with Melvin Ingram, but they're going to lean on their passing game. I think they can still take advantage of the Bills' deep receiving core versus their secondary. You know, the other thing is, I'm not sure how we know they won't probably blitz a lot. Nobody blitzes Mahomes a lot. So I don't really know how you're going to stop Kelsey and Tyreek Hill. It'll be a communal effort because I'm not sure how you're going to stop both those guys, especially without Trey White. But I know they're not going to – they're going to want to do the same thing to Josh, right? Two deep shells, don't give up the big – or to Mahomes, sorry. Two deep, don't give up the big play, probably not blitzing a lot. Rushing to contain, don't let Mahomes get out on the edge. Kind of the same thing people talk about with the Bills offense, I think.
Last time the Bills played the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, they had no Zach Moss. And at that point, Moss had kind of taken over as their primary guy.
Yeah.
Right? Singletary, a couple people have mentioned the Singletary drop that he had. That was a 2nd and 7.
Mm.
The Bills ultimately punt on that drive, I believe. It was a 2nd and 7, you know, it was pointed to as like, that could have been a big play. I mean, maybe he would have picked up a first down. It would not have been like a 50-yard run or anything like that. But
yeah,
Singletary was not playing as well as he is now. I don't think the Bills were running the ball as well as they are now.
Diggs was banged up. Beasley was playing on
Diggs
one
and
leg.
Diggs were I mean, both
right?
hurt.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was not good, yeah.
I you know, for the offense, I'm pulling up like Eli Manning's career postseason stats. I want to get Joe Flacco's too. And that's not to make Josh Allen either one of those two. But you know what I need this postseason? And it, like, it makes it overly simple, and it makes it a QB wins stat. I need Josh to stay on a heater. That's mm-hmm. that's what's going to win.
Yeah.
Whichever quarterback is better, I think probably wins the game. The teams are very even.
Sure, I think
they've played. Sure. They've played and they've split their last two games. It's, you know, Kansas City's taken 2 out of 3, but they both got great quarterbacks. They both have good enough lines. They both have strong weapons. They both have sound defenses now. If we're to believe the Kansas City's has kind of come along the last half of the year.
Mm-hmm. Good coaching, good kickers.
Yep, that's right. Both have offensive coordinators that will be favorites to get jobs this year, right? Eric Bieniemy and Brian Daboll. I mean, I know, you know, game plans. I don't know what the game plan is. I'd throw it to Diggs. I'd run it with Singletary. I'd throw it to McKenzie. I'd get McKenzie in the jet sweep game because that works really well.
And Dawson Knox. You know, Knox had a huge game the other day. He's got a factor in
absolutely.
This
one. Absolutely.
He's not, I mean, he's not Kelsey, but of course he's got a factor in this game.
Nope, that's right. So – Eli Manning, I'm looking at his postseasons. So he wins 2 Super Bowls, right? In the 2 Super Bowl seasons. By the way, do you know he was out in the first round of every other postseason he was in?
No, is that right?
Here's postseason number 1. 3 interceptions, shutout against Carolina. His first Super Bowl season, 6 touchdowns, 1 pick in the playoffs. His second Super Bowl season, 9 touchdowns, 1 pick. Every other time he made the playoffs, he was out in the first game. No touchdowns, 2 picks. 1 touchdown, 2 picks. No touchdowns, 3 picks. Like, and then Flacco. Like the joke about is Joe Flacco elite? That came from Joe Flacco having really 1 incredible postseason. 1.
Yeah.
And, you know, they win the Super Bowl.
He made it to the playoffs often, but that was the one where he was actually really good.
He wins the Super Bowl and then hits a big contract, and then the Ravens were never as good because a guy that wasn't worth that contract – got that money. But Flacco's postseason career, you know, like it's not the same as that one season. So it's to say I need him on a heater, you know. I mean, Flacco wasn't as one and done as many times. He had a pretty good postseason record, 10-5, but again, 4 of those wins came in 1 year.
We'll get a break in. We are talking
And in that year, here you go, 2013, the 2012 year, 2013 playoffs, Flacco, they go 4-0. Howard, he throws 11 touchdowns and no picks.
Ooh, not bad.
In four games.
That's all right. I'm pretty good with that line, yeah. We will get a break, and we got phone lines open. Bills fans, how confident are you for Sunday night in Kansas City? 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.